Hello, everybody. This is P. Norman Grant with Slim Jim and another edition of The Grapefruit Agenda, where we summarize, analyze, scrutinize, brutalize, and sometimes even cannibalize the news floating around our spheres out there. Why grapefruit? Because we're sweet on conservatism and sour on liberalism. Today's effort is called The Three-Way Collusion. Big tech, big media, and big FBI. So I'm looking for the big media here today, Slim Jim, but I'm seeing just our local newspaper with not much media. It's the newspaper here, and we called it a newspaper. So there should be news here. But look at the big three headlines of our local newspaper. One is Overcoming Bigotry. It has to do with black Jews, black Israelites. I guess they're around West Melbourne. And it's a whole expose about there must be bigotry against these people. They haven't really defined it. It's got to be out there somewhere because, look, they're black Jews. Who wouldn't be against them? Of course. So the big picture, huge picture, Overcoming Bigotry, holiday message of light, Hanukkah, yada, yada. That takes up one-third of the page of our newspaper. Over here on the right, we have long ago abolitionists championed Free Florida. So the Free Florida that we call Free Florida was once had the motto of the abolitionists, which were obviously the Republicans at the time. So this is from 1866, though. So when we want news, we're going to look at the newspaper to get the lesson of abolitionists in 1866, okay? Makes sense to me. Now, these are stories. Look, we can call these stories from anywhere. The Palm Beach Post, Tampa Bay Times. This comes from the Tallahassee Democrats. So they have a large area from which to call the news. And this is what they've come up with. So
news.
This is the news. Okay, now here's more news. The best New Year's Eve events to ring in 2023. So today's date, I had to look at the date because if we're looking at the events for New Year's Eve, it should be pretty close. But this is December 19th. So I don't see the big news in the big media. In fact, it's kind of small. So we have to rely on people like Michael Goodwin in the New York Post. And he had some big news in the big New York Post, which is, of course, ignored by most of the other media. So it's really big media against the real rational media, the real media. So this is Michael Goodwin, and this is the revelations of the Twitter files, basically, talking about the collusion between big tech, big government, read FBI and CIA, and big media. The bold release, this is Mr. Goodwin, the bold release of Elon Musk of Twitter files on how and why employees blocked the Post's 2020 bombshell on Hunter Biden's laptop marks a defining moment in modern American history. The disturbing details of arrogance and ignorance revealed the so-called geniuses pulling the technology levers to be as supernatural as the man behind the curtain in The Wizard of Oz. The deflating reaction in both is the same. Is that all there is? He's talking about big media. Big media is really asking the question. Is that all there is? They just revealed that the son of the president is actually in collusion with the Chinese, and 10% for the big man has no meaning to us.
Right.
We swallow that, right? In this case, no, he says, not by a long shot. For Musk's revelations must be the start of a national campaign to expose the entire picture of the unholy collusion between partisan government censors and big tech, among others. Consider that Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg recently admitted to podcaster Joe Rogan the FBI warned the company in the fall of 2020 to watch out for Russian disinformation schemes. And what does that remind us of, Slim Jim? Remember? 2016, James Comey?
Yep.
Geez, Mr. Trump, they may have some bad news from you about Russia, peeing, girls in a hotel.
Maybe that was disinformation, maybe.
That's where they came up with the word dis. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we dissed it. So Zuckerberg says, the FBI came to us, some folks on our team, and was like, hey, just so you know, you should be on high alert. We thought there was a lot of Russian propaganda in the 2016 election, and we have it on notice that basically there's about to be some kind of dump that's similar to that, they said to an unsuspecting, naive Mr. Zuckerberg. So Twitter obviously got the same warning, which almost certainly involved James Baker, a former FBI general counsel who was involved in investigating the Trump campaign in 2016 and now holds a similar position at Twitter. Slim Jim, this guy, James Baker, was the one who allowed Sussman to write out the phony FISA application, which started the investigation. And poor Mr. Baker is so innocent, sitting there in front of the House Investigative Committee and saying, woe to me. Now he's on Twitter. James Baker, he's the FBI lead counsel.
The chief counsel.
The chief counsel for the FBI. So Moreover, as an Intercept reporter Lee Fang has detailed and as a former Twitter official confirmed, the FBI held weekly meetings in Silicon Valley with tech officials about policing disinformation. Of course, their definition of disinformation was so broad as to include virtually anything that made Joe Biden or Democrats look bad. That's the disinformation. So the other misinformation, the missing information, was then probably whatever great things that Mr. Trump had done. But I'm just imagining the FBI going out to Silicon Valley, out to the big buildings out there, and getting these guys to go out on the beach and play volleyball together. The FBI and the Twitter people, Twitter's in San Francisco, but I'm sure they have outlets down there, down the coast, you know, the Googleization, playing volleyball. Can you imagine the Google sweatshirts and the FBI volleyball teams? Another unresolved, Goodwin continues, another unresolved piece of that alliance is the cabal of 51 former intelligence officers who signed a letter saying the laptop had all the earmarks of Russian disinformation. Earmarks. So everybody knows what an earmark is. It's sort of a sniffing thing. If it smells like it, it probably is. Right. So it had an earmark. So you couldn't really tell them that you said this was disinformation. Oh, no, no. It had all the earmarks. None had seen the laptop, but their letter became the story the media seized on and offered Joe Biden a lifeline in his next debate with Trump. Some signers still defend the letter, and not one has apologized for misleading the public. This is hardly a matter of fit only for historians, Michael Goodwin continues, especially not when most of the media covered Musk's release the same way they covered the initial laptop story. They ignored it. We do know the FBI had Hunter Biden's laptop for a year before the Post, that is the New York Post, that's Goodwin's paper, started to reveal the contents. You don't have to be a cynic to wonder if the agents waved Facebook and Twitter off the story because they knew it was true. So there's a good chance the censorship effort involved other federal agencies, like the 51 agencies assigned the letter of, it had all the earmarks of. So Fang and his Intercept colleague went to, just reported the documents, and court testimony showed the Department of Homeland Security has an expansive effort to influence tech platforms as if there are none other. Many. But hold on, there remains another missing piece of the puzzle, says Goodwin, the bell cows of the mainstream media. They too avoided touching the initial Hunter scoop, except to try to knock it down. Why? Well, could be about the big guy. So they, the big media, and other media laptop deniers, I like that one, the laptop deniers, have authenticated key contents, though in a scattered fashion that is left unexplored the central issue of Joe Biden's role. Did the president of the United States profit from the selling of access to him? And is he compromised in dealing with foreign powers? No one in big media seems to care. Can you imagine the guys making money? You have no idea what Hunter's doing, how he makes that money, just sitting there. There's no connection between sitting on these big boards of corporates in Ukraine and in China. And that has nothing to do with Joe's power as president. Meanwhile, Joe is just laying down for the Chinese, even laying down for the Russians. The other possibility for media complicity is they might have gone along as a favor to their FBI minders because it fit their shared agenda to defeat Trump and elect Biden, of course. After all, they were teammates in a similar effort in 2016, the Russia hoax, to try to elect Hillary Clinton. That one failed, and they were determined to succeed this time, so better not look too closely at Biden. When they take a united position on a matter, this is Goodwin again. This is big tech and it's the big media. It could be difficult to find or hear an alternative. When they block news of an event or limit its spread, it's almost as if the event didn't happen. And lest you forget their power, remember that Joe Biden was elected president because millions of voters were not allowed to learn the New York Post had unmasked his deep connections to his son's corrupt schemes. The people who did that are not threats to democracy. They are its destroyers. You know, more dramatic illustration of the big three-way collusion is from a book by James O'Keefe, American Muckraker. He's the head of Project Veritas, and I'm reading his book. He was just here recently in the Treasure Coast. And it's amazing what he revealed in a little case from Pennsylvania and Traverse City, Michigan. Traverse City. Traverse City Post Office, whistleblower. This is January 4th, 2020. He gets recorded by a journalist and has the temerity, the gall, the you-know-what, to tell people that he overheard his boss saying to the rest of the postal workers that they were going to predate the vote-by-mail ballots in Traverse City, Michigan, okay? Finds a journalist finds him, Tim Poole, and they put it on YouTube live stream so everybody could see a live stream testimony of a guy who was blocked. You couldn't see his face and you didn't know who he was. So Tim Pool put the audio on. I think they blocked his voice too. But so there's a connection between Traverse City, Michigan and Erie, Pennsylvania, because the one post office worker saw the YouTube live stream from Traverse City where there was a journalist, Tim Pool. He was doing a live stream on YouTube. What the YouTube live stream, Jim, just shortly, what's the live stream? How does that happen?
Well, YouTube typically has pre-recorded videos uploaded to their platform. Live stream is happening real time as they're recording it or as they're speaking it. It's being broadcast on YouTube live.
As if it's Walter Cronkite, 1962.
Correct. It could be.
So if someone sees that, like Ruby shooting Oswald or something, it's a pretty astounding news. It's coming into the ears of a whistleblower named Hopkins from Erie, Pennsylvania. He sees the YouTube live evidence that one worker came up with. He didn't have his name. He wouldn't come out. He wouldn't be a whistleblower. He was too worried about being fired. So the guy from Erie, this guy's name is Hopkins. Hopkins then goes on a Zoom call. He gets hold of Project Veritas. This is from James O'Keefe's book. He gets into the ear of James O'Keefe, and James O'Keefe sees a story. How? Because James O'Keefe writes in his book, to give some sense of scale to the broken electoral system in 2020, roughly 45% of 150 million ballots cast, 67 million, were mailed in. So this is the first time in American history that the post office played such a significant role in choosing a president. And so here's Mr. Hopkins saying he heard his postmaster, the postmaster of his district, tell his supervisor to predate the vote by mail ballots. And so he saw a conspiracy going on. So James O'Keefe got his video together, shoved it up to, I guess, who was it that on Fox got it?
Tucker Carlson.
Tucker Carlson got it. And he blew it out there and didn't show his face. He was blurred out, of course. But then a supervisor saw him the next day after being on Tucker Carlson, about the 6th or 7th, and said, this is our guy. I said, wait a minute. He spilled the beans on us. He's telling the world that the postmaster in Erie, Pennsylvania, did the same instructions to their postal workers as the Traverse City postal workers. The conspiracy is here, folks. Do we see this? This is big government at its worst. And so we see that the scheme might have been coordinated throughout the battleground states. This is a frightening situation. If it were in one state, we'd have naysayers and skeptics say, oh, prove it to me, prove it to me. Well, this is the proof. So Hopkins had raised more than $100,000 because he had been fired on a GoFundMe page. And so when he was interviewed, they had an interviewer come in, a United States government. It was a USPS Office of Inspector General. So it's next to an FBI agent. This is the FBI of the post office. And they came in to interview Hopkins and say, you must have blown the whistle. You must have made a mistake in your testimony. You must have made a mistake in Tucker Carlson. You must have made a mistake doing this with Project Veritas, didn't you? So he's trying to dissuade Hopkins from telling this truth more than to Project Veritas. So he's saying that you were a whistleblower because of the money, yes? Always helpful. This guy's name was Strasser, the agent. His agent is interviewing. He's interrogating Hopkins, this whistleblower, who said that two postmasters are colluding, among many others, obviously, to say that they're being corrupt in accepting votes that should not be accepted. Vote by mail votes that were dated the 4th, the post workers and the postmaster generals are saying, put them in as the 3rd. So here's this guy interviewing Hopkins and trying to get him off his testimony. Strasser was very clear with Hopkins on the subject. I'm scaring you here, okay? If you're not 1,000% accurate with your honesty, it can be argued that the money was gained by deception. So this strategy became increasingly clear as the interrogation went on. These are the words now, because this is the way Veritas works. They had the post worker, Hopkins, wear a wire against the federal agent, Strasser. Here's the actual transcription. I'm trying to twist you a little bit because in that, you know, believe it or not, your mind will kick in, okay? We like to control our mind. And when we do that, we can convince ourselves of a memory. But when you're under a little bit of stress, which is what I'm doing to you purposely, your mind can be a little bit clearer. And we're going to be doing a different exercise too to make your mind a little bit clearer. And so this is the testimony of the transcription of a federal agent trying to get a post office worker, whistleblower, off his interrogation and off his truth, off his testimony that says these post workers and the post offices themselves colluded to suppress the vote in Michigan and Pennsylvania. So as we see Project Veritas carrying through with blowing the whistle on there, the people who are trying to prevent the American people from understanding what's going on, we see the collusion that's deep in this country. Whether it be big tech, and I consider Project Veritas the antithesis of big tech, this is the small tech. These are the revelations, the revelation dealers. And so the truth from the American muckraker is the antithesis of the stuff that we see in our daily paper every day. The collusion of this paper, which has no news in it, is about overcoming bigotry and long ago abolitionists. And what's going to happen a week from now, on New Year's Eve, this is our news. And so what the real news is way beyond the curtain that we can't see. We have to see many different versions of the news. And one of the transcribers of the news is a guy named James O'Keefe, Project Veritas, American muckraker. So as we discover the collusion that Michael Goodwin uncovered with the Post and Hunter Biden's laptop, people, we have to keep our antenna up because there's a lot up there that's hidden, and it's colluded to be hidden. They are colluding to hide the stuff that we are not supposed to see. We got to look behind the curtain. Keep your antenna up, Grapefruiters, and when you get a chance, squeeze in another Grapefruit Agenda. This is P. Norman Grant with Slim Jim. See you next time.